up, squad? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. Your host, Christian, here. The morning after the Warriors finally defeat the Portland Blazers without Denny Avdija, without Jeremy Grant, whose name might come up a little bit later. Gonna just talk quickly about the Blazers game and the star of the game, D'Anthony Melton, and then we're gonna get into the topic of the hour, the month, the year, the last 5 years, Jonathan Kuminga trades, where it stands with Michael Porter Jr. talks, and I guess more importantly, what the Warriors do if they are unable to get Michael Porter Jr. I'm going to give you a couple names, so stay tuned here. So just looking at the game, Blazers, Warriors got off to a good, not the best start, but got off to a 29-point lead, almost gave it up going into one of their famous droughts, but ended up, I think they ended up getting to within like 12 points, ended up being okay, mainly because of one D'Anthony Melton, who is providing everything that the Warriors had hoped for when he returned, everything that they had hoped for last year before he got hurt, and then some. He's really come on as a scorer. I think for his career, he's like somewhere like below like 10 points per game. But as he enters his prime, even despite the injuries right now, I mean, the guy's flying around. He is basically looking like a legit sixth man type scorer. Great handle, great quickness. He's attacking bigs. Every time he got Robert Williams switched on to him, it was just immediate crossover. Get to that left hand, finish with that left. Another Warrior who's a right-handed shooter, but finishes probably better with his left hand. I think Steph, Draymond, Buddy Hield, kind of the same way, just finish better with their left for whatever reason, mainly because they're left foot jumpers and left hand finishers. It's a weird, awkward finish. But again, Melton finishes pretty well. When he doesn't get all the way into the rack, he's still getting to the paint, where I guess he's not actually playmaking for others as much as I had hoped, being kind of like a combo guard. He really truly is more of like a shooting guard than a point guard. But again, getting into the paint, and then he can decelerate, reverse pivot, counter move out of it, hit that little floater from the mid-range, kind of hit that little fadeaway. So you see multiple ways that he can score. Oh, yes, and that three-pointer is starting to come along. I think in the last like 6 games or so, he's shooting close to 50% from three. And in those, like, averaging like 25 minutes per game, which is his minutes limit at this point, he's, I think, at like 15 and a half, 16 points per game over those last six. In his last 4 games, 3 of those games, he's been over 19 points per game. So, yeah, and he's probably not going to continue shooting at this, you know, 53% clip from the field that he is. But you see glimpses of what he can be. You see that he can pick up the scoring load, create his own shot. How long have we been saying for a while now that the Warriors just need a third person who can actually just late shot clock or just at any point just kind of create his own shot reliably? Seems like Melton can do that despite being an undersized shooting guard. Can do it a lot better than Pods, can do it better than Kuminga could. You know, other than Steph and Jimmy, you know, I think late shot clock or just need a shot, you know, Melton can be out there and he can create. And that's why you're going to continue seeing him in closing lineups. I think soon enough, you're going to see him in starting lineups because he is by far and away the best two guard, and especially in combo with Steph, because he is a point of attack defender on defense. Fantastic defender. Navigates screens well, goes over the top and chases down from behind when he needs to. Then he can be a second or third ball handler, he can be a shot creator, and he can space the floor now that that shot is finally falling. So can't say enough good things about Melton. I know Dubs Nation loves him, and if he can continue to stay healthy, if he, you know, it scares me a little bit to see him flying around so much, and it's encouraging, especially late in the game, fourth quarter, really just, you know, looks like the most spry guy on the court. Just, you know, you have a minutes restriction for a reason. I just want you to not get too carried away. As someone with a lot of injuries myself, you know, you get back, you're feeling like you, hey, maybe I am 100%. Just don't overdo it and just kind of play within yourself, even though it feels like you're finally free and flying. So great job, Melton. It sounds like in the next few weeks, maybe even sooner, that minutes restriction is going to jump up from 25 minutes to about 30. And at which point, like I was saying, maybe that means he is in the starting lineup because you can give him basically another shift here. Starting lineup, it's mixed results still. I mean, first, I point to Quinton Post just not making open threes. You want to say that he's going to start hitting them a little bit better, and he's been better lately, but the part that worries me is a lot of his misses. I mean, it's always kind of a flat shot, but a lot of the misses are just, they're left, they're right, they're short. It's just kind of not good misses. It's a lot of like outer rim. So I hope that that can get better because that is the key to unlocking that lineup so you can play Draymond at the four. But the real, I don't want to say bellwether, but it seems to just be the difference in a lot of games, and particularly with that lineup. It's just the ups and downs of Moses Moody. Moody, he is what he is at this point. He has games where he's shooting well, and those are the games that you'll see the Warriors really get off to hot starts, and the Warriors just as a team will shoot better, and those are the games that they're winning when Moody is just kind of hitting 40% from three. Then there's games where he can't hit anything and he's only playing, a dozen minutes a game, and he's just not giving you much. He's just kind of a guy out there, right? On offense, he's just standing there for spacing, doesn't really give you ball handling or creation or getting to the rim for the most part. He can occasionally shooting just 36% on wide open threes, five attempts per game. On defense, can't stay in front of quick guys, gives you good length, can defend up, but again, he's just kind of a guy, just very just like average across the board, which is fine, but it's just a micro example of this is what the Warriors are. They are just kind of a fine team, and you see where there's room for improvement. Games like last night against a tanking team without their best players, you see still the potential of this team. You see the depth, you see the process. They're just missing that better small forward, power forward, just that wing scorer who's going to knock down threes at a 40% clip, which leads me to the trade that needs to happen. And starting less than 24 hours from now, they are eligible to trade Jonathan Kuminga. And the name that's always coming to the top this time of year, because quite frankly, he is the only and really the only option that puts you into anywhere near contention, Michael Porter Jr. What if I told you that Moses Moody, you can replace him and get about 13 to 15 more points per game, kind of depending on the situation. Another four rebounds per game. Moody's getting like three a game. They'll give you seven. Go from one assist up to like three and a half assists per game. Can shoot 49% from the field and shoot 40% from three on super high volume as a movement shooter, not just standing there, but moving off screens, opening up space for others, kind of what like Klay Thompson and Steph would do together when they're both moving off screens, screening for each other, can score from multiple spots, can back cut because of an extra 4 inches of height, which would be nice on both sides. Now you can, if someone tries to top block you, that rear pass is wide open. And then on defense, you give not a great defender in Michael Porter Jr., but gives you at least a little bit more height. And again, like I'm saying, defensive rebounding is key here, and just gives you more length and athleticism. That's what you would get with Michael Porter Jr. It's in a trade where what we're talking about, you've probably heard, it'd be a three-team trade most likely because the Nets don't really want Kuminga, so you're probably throwing the Kings in there or some other mystery team that might want Kuminga, but essentially you are throwing Kuminga, you're probably throwing Moody, and you're probably throwing Buddy Hield just to match the salaries, and then pick compensation from Michael Porter Jr. Buddy's not playing, Kuminga's not playing. You are basically trading Moody and draft compensation from Michael Porter Jr. Sounds like the holdup is, what are the picks? Brett Siegel reported the Warriors would love to do a trade where they just give up one first round pick. Sure, so would I. It's going to have to be two first round picks. Those come in all different shapes and sizes. If it was just, hey, our 2026 next year first round pick, or I guess this year, and our 2028 first round pick, which is probably still, I mean, assuming how Steph Curry's playing, not a post Steph Curry pick at that point. And you can throw some pick protections onto either one of those. Great. Sign me up. If it's, hey, I want to post Steph Curry picks, the further out you get, the more lucrative and valuable those picks become. And obviously, pick protections are light. Then I'm not sure. No, I am sure. I would still do the trade. I want to go for this. Like, as Kevin O'Connell said, you have four first round picks available to trade. You have three first round swaps. You've got assets like JK, even Pods, Moody, Buddy's contract. If you don't do something, it's a slap in the face to Steph Curry. It's a slap in the face to Warriors fans. Couldn't agree more. So, yes, even if you have to give up, I know it seems a little steep, but if you're giving up two, call it a 2028 first round pick and a 2030 first round pick, or even a swap with one of the later years, I would still do it. It would be tough, especially if they want close to an unprotected or a top five protected pick. It's getting steep, but again, given the situation, given the unique circumstances of Steph's window closing and the fact that he's playing at an elite level, I still want to go for it because I've already talked about it a million times. This is what you do when you have a superstar player that you're never going to get again for the franchise, and you're going to be hitting a hard rebuild and reset anyways. I'm not going to talk about this again because we've talked about it a zillion times. And if and when the Warriors don't end up making a trade, we'll talk about it some more. So go get Michael Porter Jr. The real purpose of this video is, or of this episode, is what if they decide it's too steep? What if you can't get a deal done from Michael Porter Jr.? Now, what do? You cannot just sit on Kuminga and have him on your bench again. Even if you're not getting much value for him, he's still a very tradable contract. What do you do next? I've got a few names. None of them really excite me. None of them are really going to put you over the top, but they'll improve this team. They'll give you a fighter's chance, a puncher's chance in the playoffs to upset some teams, probably not a deep run. But again, hey, this team almost made a second round, third round run last year, as is before Steph got hurt. So maybe small upgrades can help. So here, first, I would like to say the Warriors do not need any more guards because of what Melton has surfaced to become. As long as he stays healthy, we don't need anything like a Keon Ellis, a Ayo Dosunmu. You don't need those type of guys anymore. You have enough 6'5" shooting guards, and your defense with Melton, that's okay. And the scoring seems to be fine right now out of your guard position. So those guys, I don't think, are no longer enticing to the Warriors. What you need is a small forward or a power forward, basically a wing scorer who can space the court, give you some size, obviously. Basically, give you what Michael Porter Jr. is going to give you. Worst case, you need a center. I don't know if you're going to be able to get both, but worst case, if you have to pick one of two things for yourself, you need to either go get that wing player or you need to get a true rim running center. So, wings that I like, Jeremy Grant, I don't like, but that's probably the next best option on the wing. Wasn't good last year, I gotta say. He was like 37% from the field last year, averaging like 13 points, which is a huge dip. He is injured a decent amount. He's dealing with Achilles tendonitis currently, although it sounds like he's close to returning. But he is averaging 20 points per game this season and shooting 39% from three. So I guess he is better than nothing if you can make it work for a Kuminga deal, and probably wouldn't have to give up too much draft compensation. He gives you a little bit of what you need on the wing. The defense, not great, but he does give you a little bit more size than like Moody. So Jeremy Grant, first option there, because there has been rumors that the Blazers were potentially a little bit interested in Kuminga. So I guess Grant would be option one on the wing there. The only other option, I don't even know if it's an option anymore because the Suns have been better. They're ahead of the Warriors. I don't even know if they're selling quite frankly, but the name from last offseason, Royce O'Neal, who's having a great year. He's shooting 42% from three. Been good this year. I think he's at like $10 million per year and has a couple more years on that contract. So you dangle that Royce O'Neal and give us picks, a couple second round picks, if that deal is even still on the table for Kuminga. I don't know what that really does for you, but hey, the Warriors seem to love having picks. So Royce O'Neal upgrade gives you some size on the wing, gives you a shooter, would play, 20, 25 minutes probably at least for the Warriors, and would be an upgrade on Moody. And maybe even you might even get some draft compensation there to get off of Kuminga. Don't love it, but better than nothing once again. Looking at bigs, impact name, run into a lot of the same problems with the Nets, why you wouldn't be able to get Michael Porter Jr. in the first place, but Nick Claxton, playmaking big, you think he's up at like four assists per game. He's not like a ball hand there, but basically he sees the floor well from that post, gives you great rim protection, cleans up a lot on the back end, which would be very important for playing teams like the Thunder, give you some size and just kind of gives you that ability to have a rim runner on offense, protect Draymond Green so he can play the four, and just is an emerging young player, very bouncy and give you some size. Probably still would cost you Kuminga and a first round pick, but not two first round picks, I don't think. So if that's the worst case scenario, and if the Nets or if the Kings have something that the Nets like, hopefully Malik Monk, who had a good game the other night, hopefully that entices the Nets and maybe the Kings throw a second round pick and attach that to the deal. Whatever it takes, if you can get some interest there and get Claxton rather than having to spend as much as the Warriors would need to for Michael Porter Jr. and it gets a deal done, that's probably the next best option. You're still really hurting on the wing, and that's the bigger problem here. Lastly, Daniel Gafford, who he's also kind of been nursing a lot of injuries this year, but gives you a rim runner, only playing like 20 minutes per game, which is, helps you a bit, kind of gives you that other look. And, as well as Horford's been playing, and you're able to rely on post defensively at least a bit, now you're splitting minutes a bit more, which is fine. But again, Gafford probably would not play more than 20 minutes per game. His scoring has been down. He's been injured and hurt a bunch. He is signed for three more years. It's $18 million per year. That's kind of a lot to commit to. But if you can get the best version of him and he can stay on the court, a nice wrinkle to have, you can finally start to size up a little bit and solves, the problem of a little bit better rim protection and size and some rebounding at $18 million per year and at basically being your last move you can make. It's a little tough, but again, it's better than nothing. As far as the Mavericks, you could float the idea of bringing Klay Thompson back, but it's not really a needle mover. It would just be kind of nostalgic and good for the fan base, but I don't really see that as an option. So there you go. That's all I got. There's not a lot of other names out there right now. I'm sure there will be. If Michael Porter Jr., if we swing and miss at that, we're going to have to explore all avenues because you cannot sit on this Kuminga thing for a while. And that's all of a sudden you decide to just start playing Kuminga and hope that he plays like he did the first couple weeks of the season. But that's unrealistic. Maybe the next time we talk, there will be heavy rumors or even a trade. And maybe this is the last time we talk with Kuminga's name in our mouth. We can only hope. All right, guys, let's keep on moving. Midway point of the season. It is the dog days, but there is hope ahead. And I hope to be happy to report to you that a trade has been done next time we speak. Until then, I've been Chris Chin. Stay tuned for more. Give me a like, subscribe, follow. Appreciate you guys. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.